You are listening to Radio Autonomía, Zapatismo in the Bay on Berkeley Liberation Radio 104.1 FM on the radio waves here in the Bay and also on berkeleyliberationradio.net. We're back from our musical break, and what we're going to talk about now are the recent communiques and letters that have come out of Chiapas. We saw a major action on December 21st in the streets of some of the major cities of the state of Chiapas, and so we just want to start out talking about that and then do a little review of some of the texts that the Zapatistas have released after quite a long period of silence. So starting in the very early hours of the morning on December 21st, the cities of San Cristóbal de las Casas, Ocosingo, Altamirano, Las Margaritas, and Palenque, which were the major cities that were occupied by the Zapatista Army for National Liberation on January 1st, 1994. So again, we saw these same cities filled with tens of thousands of Zapatistas in ski masks and red bandanas occupying these city centers in complete silence on December 21st. So this was the biggest sort of show of Zapatista presence that we've seen really since January 1st, 1994. So it was really amazing to see the streets filled with the compas, and even more powerful was the fact that this was a silent action. So on this day, on December 21st, 20,000 Zapatistas filled the streets of San Cristóbal, while Ocosingo and Las Margaritas saw up to 7,000 each in those two cities, and the other cities had slightly smaller presence. So across the state of Chiapas, on that one day, we saw over 40,000 Zapatistas marching in silence, which was a really, really tremendous show of strength. So at the end of this day of silence, a communique was released by the CCRICG, which is the Indigenous Revolutionary Clandestine Committee of the Zapatista Army of National Liberation. And this communique, a very brief communique, a very uncharacteristically brief communique, read, December 21st, 2012, to whom it may concern. Did you listen? It's the sound of your world crumbling. It's the sound of our world resurging. The day that was day was night, and night shall be the day that will be day. Democracy, liberty, justice. From the mountains of southeastern Mexico, for the clandestine Indigenous Revolutionary Committee, General Command of the EZLN, Subcomandante Insurgente Marcos. So this very brief, almost cryptic communique was released to accompany this day of silent action. So there had been an announcement on the Enlace Zapatista website for a few months, really, I think over a month at least, at the top where sort of headlines and news and sort of breaking news reports are posted, it said, coming soon, the words of the clandestine committee of the Zapatistas. And so everybody was sort of anticipating something. So there was this massive action, like we said, and then this very brief communique. Many were left thinking, is this it? Is this the words that we were waiting for? Or is there more? And nearly 10 days later, at the close of 2012, three more documents were released by the EZLN in quick succession. The first, released on December 29th, is a letter by Subcomandante Marcos titled, Don't We Know Them? And so we're going to hear a few excerpts from this letter right now.
So in this letter, Marcos starts out by saying, do we know them? Let's see. And he starts out with our good friend, Enrique Peña Nieto. And he says, was he not born in Atacomulco, Comulco, Mexico State? Is he not the relative of Alfredo del Mazo and Arturo Longhands Montiel? Was he not the one who ruled with the collusion of the PRD municipal government of Texcoco during the eviction of the florists and the arrest of the leader of the People's Front in Defense of the Land, Ignacio del Valle, in May 2006? Was he not the one who launched his attack dog and criminal Wilfrido Robelo Madrid to attack the town of San Salvador Atenco and ordered his police to sexually assault women? Was he not the mastermind behind the murder of Javier Cortez and Alexis Benumea? Did the Supreme Court of Justice of the nation not rule that the three levels of government, the federal government, PAN, the state government, PRI, and the municipal government, the PRD, committed serious violations of the people's individual rights? And later on, after a small detour, he says, okay, sorry, let us continue on with our ignorance of these people that we apparently do not know. Emilio Chofiet Chemur, was he not Enrique Peña Nieto's boss and his, quote, teacher? Was he not Ernesto Zedillo's interior minister? Was he not the drunkard who, in 1996, told the federal government and the COCOPA that he accepted their bill and then later, and hungover, retracted? Was he not one of the masterminds of the Acteal massacre in December 1997? Was he not the one that tried to impose the flirty pompadours trend amongst the pre, and the only one who supported him was his then pupil Enrique Peña Nieto? Pedro Joaquín Colwell, was he not the government commissioner for peace in Chiapas when the Acteal massacre occurred and who remained silent and continued to get paid by doing nothing? Rosario Robles Berlanga, was she not the head of government in Mexico City for the PRD? Did she not boast about the repression and her police committed several times against young students during the UNAM strike in 1999-2000? Is she not the one, while presiding over the PRD, who sold her party in every way? Is she not the one now in charge of the fight against the corporatism of the Bejaranos in Mexico City and throughout the Republic? Alfonso Navarrete Prida, was he not the first who covered up the organized crime score settling that resulted in the murder of Enrique Salinas de Gortari? Psst, you guys don't really get along, do you? And then exonerate Arturo Longhands Montiel, Miguel Angel Osorio Chong. Was he not accused of diverting government funds to the PRI? Did the Attorney General's Office, PGR, not open criminal investigations to investigate his ties to the criminal organization Los Zetas? Oh, changed the strategy in the war on drugs, huh? And then we'll continue on to read another excerpt. Further on in the letter, he says, are you all not the ones who have always chosen violence over dialogue? The ones who always use force when there is no reason? The ones who pioneered corruption and contempt in all the political parties? Are you all not those who have refused to comply with the San Andres Accords that would mean the constitutional recognition of indigenous rights and culture and an end to evictions disguised as mining, water, dam, resort, road, and subdivision projects? If you have ever answered no to any of the questions, then you're right. We do not know you. And a little bit further on, he has a couple of PSs that he gets.
So the first, the PSs again have sort of Marcos's typical humor that he includes in a lot of these letters and these different communiques that he writes. And the second PS in this long list of PSs, these postscripts, reads PS. And this is further identifying himself. He says, P.S., who generously offers the bad governments a 10-step manual. Note, it's an easy read. Don't be frightened. On how to identify a Zapatista and to know if they do or do not, quote, have contact with the EZLN. Number one, if they ask for money or projects from any of the three levels of government, they are not Zapatista. Number two, if they establish a direct line of communication without announcing it publicly beforehand, they are not Zapatista. Number three, if they ask to speak or are speaking directly with any of the three levels of government without announcing it publicly, they are not Zapatista. Number four, if they want an elevated position, appointment, honors, awards, etc., they are not Zapatista. Five, if they are afraid, they are not Zapatista. Number six, if they sell out, surrender, or falter, they are not Zapatista. Number seven, if they take themselves very seriously, they are not Zapatista. Number eight, if they do not cause chills when being seen, they are not Zapatista. Number 9, if they do not give the impression that they say more with their silence, then they are not Zapatista. And number 10, if they are a ghost of those that fade, they are not Zapatista. So this letter here, this first letter that was released, is clearly an indictment of Enrique Peña Nieto and specifically the recently announced cabinet. And his new cabinet, as we can see, is made up of very familiar faces. So the answer to the question, don't we know them, is yes, we know them, and we know them for really horrific reasons. So this commentary on the announcement of his new cabinet echoes what many feared. The dinosaurs, los dinosaurios, are back. The return of the PRI to the presidency truly is the return of the old guard, with all the impunity, corruption, and violence that we've come to expect from them. So the second document that was released was a letter, also another letter from Marcos, to Luis Héctor Álvarez Álvarez, who's a member of the PAN party from the state of Chihuahua. And Álvarez served as a member of COCOPA in Chiapas and was part of the organization of the peace negotiations between the federal government and the EZLN. In 2000, Vicente Fox appointed him as coordinator of the Dialogue for Peace in Chiapas. And in 2006, Calderón appointed him as head of the Commission for the Development of Indigenous Peoples. So recently, this man who is, I believe, 93 years old, a very senior politician, in July, he presented his new book, which is titled Corazón Indígena, Lucha y Esperanza de los Pueblos Originarios de México, which translates as Indigenous Heart, Struggle and Hope of the Indigenous Peoples of Mexico. And in this book, among many absurd claims, is the claim that Marcos has lung cancer and that Marcos has approached the federal government asking for assistance with his medical care. With him at the presentation of his book in July 2012 was none other than Felipe Calderón as the sort of invited special co-presenter. So Marcos's letter is directed at Álvarez, but also more generally at the PAN party, Calderón himself included. In it, he writes, "This letter isn't just to reaffirm what the multitudinous silence of December 21st should have made clear to you, to the political class, to the PAN government in general, and to Felipe Calderón specifically, which is that you have failed. But there's no drama. Other governments have tried before, and they'll surely keep on trying. But Señor Álvarez, you shouldn't look for the source of your failure in us, nor in the little professionalism of your very unintelligent intelligence service. Who would ever think that a Zapatista, any Zapatista, would turn to a government of criminals to ask for help when they're ill? Who could rationally think that the Zapatistas rose up for money?" The text later echoes the style of the previous letter, Don't We Know Them, which was directed at the PRI, but this time focusing on the PAN. "Your political party, the PAN, is made up of those who led, since the dawn of 1994, the hysterical cries against us, asking that we be annihilated because we threatened to sink the country into a bloodbath. And it turned out that you all, later as the government, are the ones that extended the terror, the anguish, the destruction, and death to all the corners of our already damaged country." So this second letter that was released really serves to point out both the persistent sort of damaging acts of the PAN, but also to say that just because the PRI is in power now, the game has not really changed. And to specifically call out this person who is self-identified as, you know, having an indigenous heart, as nothing more than another corrupt politician. So the third document that was released was an actual communique, so different from the two letters. And this communique released by the Clandestine Indigenous Revolutionary Committee, the general command of the EZLN, specifically announced the following steps, sort of next steps for the EZLN. And this this text is very didactic, and it really goes through a very sort of clear sense of where we're at and where we're going from the perspective of the EZLN. So we're going to read the intro and some of the actual steps that are laid out in the communique.
I'll go ahead and read the intro of the communique, which is the communique from the Indigenous Revolutionary Clandestine Committee, General Command of the Zapatista National Liberation Army, Mexico, December 30th, 2012. To the people of Mexico, to the people and governments of the world, brothers and sisters, compañeros y compañeras, In the early morning hours of December 21st, 2012, tens of thousands of indigenous Zapatistas mobilized and took, peacefully and silently, five municipal seats in the southeast Mexican state of Chiapas. In the cities of Palenque, Altamirano, Las Margaritas, Ocosingo, and San Cristóbal de las Casas, we looked at you and at ourselves in silence. Ours is not a message of resignation. It is not one of war, death, or destruction. Our message is one of struggle and resistance. After the media coup d'etat that catapulted a poorly concealed and even more poorly costumed ignorance into the federal executive branch, we made ourselves present to let them know that if they had never left, neither had we. 6 years ago, a segment of the political and intellectual class went looking for someone to hold responsible for their defeat. At that time, we were, in cities and in communities, struggling for justice for an Atenco that was not yet fashionable. In that yesterday, they slandered us first and wanted to silence us later. Dishonest and incapable of seeing that it was within themselves that there was and still is the seed of their own destruction, they tried to make us disappear with lies and complicit silence. 6 years later, two things are clear. They don't need us in order to fail, and we don't need them in order to survive. We, who never went away, despite what media across the spectrum have been determined to make you believe, resurge as the indigenous Zapatistas that we are and will be.
So a little bit later in the communique, as they've laid out some of the major progress that's been made in terms of improving the daily lives of the indigenous men, women, and children in these communities, they assert that we have achieved all of this without the government, without the political class and the media that accompanies them, while simultaneously resisting their attacks of all kinds. We've shown, once again, that we are who we are. With our silence, we have made ourselves present. Now, with our word, we announce that, first, we will reaffirm and consolidate our participation in the National Indigenous Congress as a space of encounter with the original peoples of our country. Second, we will reinitiate contact with our compañeros and compañeras, adherents of the Sixth Declaration of the Lacandon Jungle in Mexico and the world. Third, we will try to construct the necessary bridges towards the social movements that have arisen and will arise, not to direct or supplant them, but to learn from them, from their history, from their paths and destinies. For this, we have consolidated the support of individuals and groups in different parts of Mexico, formed as support teams for the 6th and International Commissions of the EZLN, to become avenues of communication between the Zapatista bases of support and the individuals, groups, and collectives that are adherents to the 6th Declaration in Mexico and in the world, who still maintain their conviction and commitment to the construction of a non-institutional left alternative. Fourth, we will continue to maintain our critical distance with respect to the entirety of the Mexican political class, which has thrived at the expense of the needs and desires of humble and simple people. Fifth, with respect to the bad governments, the federal, state, and municipal, executive, legislative, and judicial, and the media that accompanies them, we say the following. The bad governments, which belong to the entirety of the political spectrum, without a single exception, have done everything possible to destroy us, to buy us off, to make us surrender. PRI, PAN, PRD, PVEM, PT, CC, and the future political party RN have attacked us militarily, politically, socially, and ideologically. The mainstream media tried to disappear us first with opportunist and servile lies, followed by a complicit and deceptive silence. Those they served, those on whose money they nursed, are no longer around, and those who have succeeded them will not last any longer than their predecessors. So this communique closes saying, we are those, the same of 500 years ago, of 44 years ago, which was 1968, of 30 years ago, which was 1983, of 20 years ago, 1993, of just a few days ago. We are the Zapatistas, the very smallest, those that live, struggle, and die in the last corner of the country. Those that do not give up, do not sell out, those that do not surrender. Brothers and sisters, compañeros and compañeras, we are the Zapatistas. Receive our embrace. Democracy, liberty, justice, from the mountains of the Mexican Southeast. So this communique is unlike any communique we've seen, or any communication, rather, that we've seen for many years from the Zapatistas, I would say, since the sixth declaration of the Selva Lacandona, which came out in June and July of 2005. So that's now coming on almost 8 years ago. So this is really significant that there is a statement made like this after, again, a long period of silence that we know was very much due to a period of internal reflection and internal survival out of necessity, based on the fact that the paramilitary groups and paramilitary violence and threats have really been increasing over the last few years in Chiapas. So it's exciting to see this kind of statement. We'll be following and seeing what kind of initiatives come out of this and the responses to it. And we just want to recognize that, again, this is the first communique of this sort since 2005. And again, the sixth declaration, as we know, was the document that launched the Otra Campaña, which began January 1st, 2006, so 7 years ago. Nearly 7 years ago, exactly. And again, also, as we know, just 6 days into the Otra Campaña on January 6th, 2006, we lost Comandante Ramona, who died after a long struggle against cancer. And so today marks 7 years since her death. We want to remember her and honor her legacy, and we'll do that here symbolically by playing a track dedicated to her by the group Quetzal called Todos Somos Ramona. Ni dos.